Welcome to the Seeds Excess Youth Podcast. Now enjoy this inspiring message from our Friday night service. You make me feel so.
How good was that? That was my first ever 4D movie experience. Is there anyone else in the house? First time? Anyone else? That's something else, isn't it? I know we've already given it up, but let's give it up again for Ella. There are leaders who set stuff on fire for you. Of course, as much fun as Rob and Nick and others were having just then, don't try that at home. That was so good. Moana is a weapon. Do you agree? How's that last scene, or one of the last scenes, that she's just like striding towards this beast, lava beast. She's just like striding towards it. I got three daughters, and I'm going to tell you, I love movies like that. I love it. It's not the first time that you've had a female as the lead. It's not the first time that in a Disney movie has had a female as a hero. But I think it's the first time there's been a Disney movie with a female lead with no romantic interest. Apparently, a girl or a woman doesn't need a man to complete her. Who knew? Apparently, Disney has discovered this. I just want to encourage the women in the house. Whether you're 13 or older, you are a woman. And you do not need a man in order to complete you. You also don't need to be the woman who, I'm never going to have a man, I don't need that, in order to be who you are. Don't, either if you say, I need that, or I don't need that, I'm never going to have that, you're still defining yourself by the thing you're either embracing or trying to remove yourself from. A husband is a gift from the Lord, but not every single person here is going to get married. You are not defined by the person that you are with. And that's girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever. I love it that what she gave her heart to was not the man. She gave her heart to something huge that changed everything for everyone on the planet. How good is that? That is such a good lead-in to what we're looking at tonight. We have a woman who, as a girl, as a very little, ridiculously cute girl, is called by the ocean into something that she would fulfill at a later time. There's this period of waiting where she's been called, she knows there's something there, but she hasn't been given permission to step into it. Eventually, she has her moment. And her grandma's involved, others are involved, and she sets sail across the ocean. And there are moments when it is ridiculously hard. There are moments when it's like, nah, I'm giving up. This is not going to work. That amazing scene towards the end, where the ocean actually takes back the heart. And then her grandma enters in. She finds herself about to just go back home. The oar is nearly in the water, but she can't do it. Something just snaps in her. Because what had happened is the ocean had called her, but then provided for her, met her needs. There were so many times she's thrown off the boat, and the ocean puts her back. The ocean had given itself to her for her service, for her security, to be her provider on so many occasions. And after receiving all that from the ocean, she's actually given her own heart to the ocean. She is too far in to let it go. And there's moments where she wants to, but she can't, because she's given all she is to this thing. It's pretty cool. And it parallels amazingly with a guy who we read about in the scriptures called David. We're in the middle of reading through this. It's called The Story. It's a concise version of the Bible. And over 31 chapters, it covers most of the most significant things that we have across the scriptures. And we're doing this on Sundays, we're doing it on Friday nights, and we're up to King David. And if you've come for the first time or you've come back and you've missed various parts, then you're still going to get some stuff out of what we talk about now. But if you've been tracking with us, there might be a few more things that you're able to pick up. I do encourage you, even if you haven't started, it's worth starting now. It's worth backtracking and picking it up, because we are a part of a story that is ridiculous. It is epic. It is God's story, and it's what he calls each and every one of us into. I love in Moana how even Heihei has a purpose. How good is that? Heihei saves the day. That heart is bouncing off the boat right at the end there, and Heihei snaps it up. And unlike the previous time where Heihei swallowed it, just turns around and, I was going to say hands it, doesn't quite work, beaks it to Moana. Everyone has a purpose. We are poorer if there is any one of you that doesn't fulfill the purpose that God has called you for. Maui had to discover that even without his hook, he was still Maui. We had Tafiti, who suddenly was vanished. Oh, wait, Takar is Tafiti. There are so many parallels with the scriptures. There's so many parallels with what we just saw to what the Bible tells us about the ultimate story of all. There's also some things that don't quite line up. If you were to try and take that particular character of Tafiti and go, oh, maybe that's like God. Maybe when people sinned for the first time, maybe that's like when the heart was taken from Tafiti. And Tafiti loses her heart. Maybe God had his heart stolen when people sinned for the first time. And maybe he got it back when Jesus died on the cross and he paid for the sin of every single person that's ever lived and ever will live. Maybe that's what happened. But it's not quite right. God's heart was broken, but it wasn't stolen. When we sinned, when we as humankind, when we sinned and we chose to follow what Satan was whispering in our ears rather than what God had called us to from the beginning of time, it says that God was grieved. His heart was broken, but it wasn't stolen. He has loved us the whole way through. He has never been a lava monster. Our God has always been and will always be good and loving and blossoming with flowers. God is always the same. We're told in the scriptures that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. He doesn't change. There's some different ways that he relates to people, and we looked at that a little bit last week. We have this amazing reality that we can look at some stuff in the Old Testament. We can look at these things about people being killed and go, where is God in that? How does that work? And be confused about his character. But you know what? The scriptures are told through the lens of the Israelites. We get their story more than we get anyone else's story. And we get to put ourselves in the place of the Israelites. And as I said last week, there is evidence that God was calling every single person. Even in things that we look at as punishment, God was calling people to himself. He's always good, and he's always calling people to himself. We have a God who is always good, and it's good news. So our focus today is on King David. And some of you know this story. You know that as a boy, he was the forgotten one. He was out tending the sheep when the rest of his brothers were lined up, because the prophet of that time knew that someone from that family needed to be anointed as king. And so he asks, bring all the boys, all the boys. And he's the forgotten one. He's like, oh, he can look after the sheep. We'll line up the rest of them. And we have the call that happens after the prophet Samuel goes across all of his brothers. And God tells him, no, not this one. No, not that one. Not that one. Not that one. Is there any others? Yes, there's one more and he's tending sheep. Okay, bring him. And he was called. He was called in front of his brothers and in front of some of the elders of that town. He had his call. He waited decades. Moana would have waited, what, 10, 12 years, something like that? He waited 30 before he was finally appointed as king. He waited a long time. And there were so many battles in there. So many times when he could have given up. But you know what? Something happened when God gave his heart to David. David gave all of his heart to God. And so whether he was tending sheep out in the fields, whether he was serving the king of that time by playing music for him in his courts, or whether he was up against Goliath, his heart was God's. And so we see him in a Moana-type moment as she's walking towards the lava monster. David ran towards his lava monster. There was this massive guy called Goliath who had been a warrior since his youth. David still was a youth. And he runs at him. He grabbed 5 stones before he went to take on Goliath. There's one theory that Goliath had 4 brothers. And so David's like, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That'll just take care of the whole family. He ran at Goliath. And the reason he ran at Goliath is because he knew he was backing him. He knew if he got thrown off the boat, he was going to get put back on again. He knew who had called him and who was equipping him to do what he was called to do. There's this thing about Christianity that people sometimes think, and it's like, oh yeah, that's that thing where you've just got to keep all the rules. Moana broke a pretty significant rule. David broke a number of rules. Moana's rule that she broke was for the purpose of her people, but also it was her desire, wasn't it? She wanted to cross the reef. David messed up big time. Years after that moment with Goliath, where he was victorious against the odds, it was like a David and Goliath moment. It was awesome. Years later, he stuffed up massively in a really selfish way. But here's the thing about Christianity. It's not about keeping the rules. Sometimes rules can just get you in trouble if all you're focused on is keeping them. I had another story about another guy called David. He was in my class. I was teaching a year 2-3 class. We had a chess player who came around and was telling the kids about chess. And he was explaining about this epic game of chess that he had played this one time. It was against the grandmaster, and he was just really hyping it up and trying to give the kids some perspective on how long these games of chess went for. It's like his 8 friends going to school in the morning, but you're playing chess. And then it's recess, but you're still playing chess. It's lunchtime for everyone else, but you're still playing chess. Everyone else is going home at the end of the day, and you're still playing chess. You can't eat during that time. You can't even go to the toilet during that time. It's an important thing to remember for the rest of this story. So David, really good kid. He had the opportunity a bit later on after the story was told and that, you know, chess was explained to them, to play a game of chess. After a little while, David came up to me and he looked a bit sheepish. And I was like, what's the matter, David? He's like, oh, can I go to the toilet? I was like, sure, you can go to the toilet. And I was... as he was walking off to the toilet, that I saw the wet patch on the carpet where David had just been sitting. And as he's walking away, I can see a bigger wet patch on his pants. When he came back from the toilets, I asked him, I was like, what happened, David? Actually, I'll tell you what his mum said when I told her what happened. She's like, oh, David, he's such a stickler for the rules. He was like, I'm playing chess. I'm not allowed to go to the toilet. So he waited till his game had finished after wetting his pants before he finally went to the toilet. Sometimes keeping the rules can get you in a mess. Because sometimes we don't fully understand the rules. So if all we are focused on is the rules, it doesn't work out so well. There was probably my favorite wee story of all time. These two friends that I had in high school, they were best mates since primary school, which is amazing that they survived the first year. Because in reception, picture this, you've got like the four kids in the one table group, you know, two tables next to each other. Stephen and Stephen were sitting opposite each other. Important detail, opposite each other. So one Stephen had this realization. So he's five, right? Has this realization, I have to go. I'm not going to have time to put my hand up, let alone ask for permission and go to the toilet and do a wee. So he did something, I don't know if I ever would have thought to do this, but he did. He just pulled his pants down right then and there as he's sitting on his chair and just relieved himself. With enough pressure, somehow avoided the table, landed in the other Stephen's lap. You're sitting there, right? Suddenly, it's not yours, but it's there. What are you going to do? Stephen stands up and is like, he weed on me. He's standing there, covered in urine, saying, he weed on me. Guess who got in trouble? That's rough. That is really, really rough. Sometimes, reasons. We want someone else to have to deal with the mess. And that's what David did in a massive way. He stuffed up. He saw someone, he saw a woman that he liked the look of. He took her for himself. He slept with her. And then to try and cover his tracks after she fell pregnant, he ends up getting her husband killed. That is messed up. Yet David is looked at as this amazing man of faith. Yet he stuffed up in a massive way, committed adultery, committed murder. How can he? Jesus even proudly identified himself as a son of David. Revelation 22, he's referred to in that way, the last chapter of the Bible, son of David. When Jesus is having an argument with the Pharisees, he says, haven't you read what David did? He points to David as an example. Yet David messed up. But here's the thing that matters so much more with Christianity than keeping the rules. David had someone come and confront him. He says, the person about whom you're talking needs to die. They need to pay back four times as much as what they've stolen. This story that related to what he had done. And then this prophet Nathan says to him, you are the man. You are that man. And in that moment, he repents. In that moment, he is not trying to keep up appearances. He's not trying to pretend he's got it all together. In that moment, his heart is revealed. He repents before the Lord. He changes his mind. No longer is it about trying to save face. No longer is it about him trying to get stuff for himself. But suddenly, he repents. Suddenly, he lets God bring healing to his life. And he deals with it. He allows God to deal with it. It changes everything. Rules are going to be broken. Let the reason that you break rules be like Moana's reason, not like David's. But if that happens, if you find yourself, whether you realize or someone calls you out, that is your moment. That is a beautiful moment to say, oh, I forgot who I was. I love that Moana is so rooted in identity. I am Moana. How epic is that? I love it. The call isn't out there at all. It's inside me. Here's the amazing thing about Christianity, is that we are not talking about something that is out there, but something that is in here. When you say yes to Jesus, when you give him your heart, you receive the Holy Spirit, who is with you, even in you, always. The call is not out there, but in here. And in any one of you who believe. But it starts with a taste. You see, we often talk about blind faith. Oh, maybe David had blind faith as he just went, all right, I'm going to go take on Goliath. I've never done anything like this before. I'm just going to go out and do it. Maybe God will protect me. David, when asked by Saul, why would you do this? He said, God has saved me from the lion and the bear. He will save me from this fella too. God had proved faithful to him before, and this was just another step. Some of you are ready just to say, I will give my whole heart to Jesus. But others of you have not yet had a taste. I want to invite you to taste and see that God is good. We had a man who randomly rocked up here on Wednesday night. This is a pretty fresh testimony, as a friend of mine likes to call him. It's a fresh testimony. He rocked up here on Wednesday night. We had our intern dinner. He rocked up. He was hoping maybe for a cup of coffee and a place to charge his mobile phone. He just recently moved back into the area after being in Victoria for a while, and just a really tough life. Things have not gone well for him at all. And he rocks up here, and he has a bit of background, Christian schools and whatnot. And he said to me at one point, look, don't try and convert me. I will be harder to convert than Balaam was. Balaam had a donkey that talked to him. He's like, I will need 10 times the evidence that Balaam needed if I'm going to become a Christian. But by the end of the time, we spent about an hour with him, just hanging out and chatting with him. He was like, you guys are a bit different. I like this church. This is different to other churches that I've experienced before. Something was shifting for him. And then he leaves, and we'd invited him to Seeds Feed tomorrow night. It's a young adults thing that's happening here. And he got his nights wrong. He came up all excited up the steps like 2 hours ago and really, really wanted to talk to me. He said, oh, no, it's tomorrow night. And so as I was walking him out, he said, you won't believe what just happened to me tonight. So he'd had a really rough day. He was in the city. Things that he was trying to get done just weren't happening for him. And he sees this guy at a bus stop, and he's like, oh, is the G21? Has the G21 been passed yet? And this guy's like, no, it hasn't yet. I'm catching that bus. It'll be here in the next couple of minutes. He's like, oh, okay, good. But he just starts offloading on this guy, just all the stuff that's going wrong. He's like, blah, 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 blah. They get on the bus together, and they come back this way. And then this guy, he was carrying a guitar or something. He wasn't quite sure what it was, but he was carrying something with him. And he hands him this note as he gets off the bus. And so the guy's gone before he gets a chance to read it. And then he reads it before he gets off the bus out here. And the note says, you know, we all have rough days. I'm sorry it's been difficult for you. Life's not fair sometimes. But God is good. Jesus loves you. If you want to know more about this Jesus I'm talking about, go to Seeds Uniting Church on Sunnymead Drive any Sunday at 9 a.m. or 10:45, and they would love to tell you more. Sign Peter and his mobile number. I don't even know who Peter is, but he's a champ. And he's like pretty similar to the mini Maui, who's like 1 point to Moana. He's like, he actually said that, that's 1 point to God. He's like, that's a pretty significant point to God right there. And he's close. He has had a taste This new friend of mine, Aiden, has had a taste that the Lord is good, and he calls even him, who feels like hey. He feels like he has nothing to offer anybody, but God calls him, and God will work in and through him. I'm calling you on behalf of heart, to the one who has given his heart to you. We have a cross up here, not as some just religious symbol, but as a reminder of what our God did for us. Jesus died. He gave himself for you. Not as this thing where you need to feel guilty. All right, he gave it for me, so I've got to give it to him. No, so you can know how much you are loved. And there are many things that you can chase. There are so many things that you can get excited about in this life, but there is only one that really matters. There's only one that counts for eternity, and it is Jesus, and Jesus alone. He gave everything for you. You are invited to risk to give yourself back to him, knowing that when you give your heart to him, he fills you with his very self. You have his presence. You are never alone. You are not holding out until you get that job, until you get that degree, until you find that special someone. He is it, and he is above all of that. He is number one. I'm going to invite the band to come up. We're going to hear a song which talks about what he has done for you, what he has done for me. He has given himself for you. We're not going to sing this one. We're just going to hear these guys as God speaking directly to you. This is the truth. He doesn't hide himself from us. He doesn't give us little bits of himself. He gives us the whole thing. The fullness of God resides in each and every one of us. It says that the church, which is all the people, not the buildings, the church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. We get the fullness of God, not a little bit of it. Reflect and let him in as these guys sing over us.